a couple of times a year, our church is responsible for leading care center services in Staples. Pastor Isaac was there this morning, and among the folks there is a dear old gentleman by the name of Barlam. Some of you have probably met Barlam if you have been there. Years ago, when we used to sing there on a regular basis, we would sing the first Sunday of every month, and while we were paging through the hymnals, we were just singing random songs, and we would take a break between songs. Okay, which one are we going to sing next? Barlam would inevitably come up to me and say, "How's your pocketbook?" And he would say that several times each Sunday, and he would say it every month, and he said it every time we were there for several years. And I've been thinking about Barlam, and I've been thinking about that, and what he was asking is there anything in it? And most of the time I would tell him, it's not too good. "How's your pocketbook?" he would ask me. And he was asking, I think, is there anything to your pocketbook? Is there anything in it? Is it healthy? That's why I have entitled this morning's message, "How is your faith? Is there anything to it? Is it healthy?" I've been reading, I've just finished another book. It's in our library. It's called Jesus Freaks, put out by Voice of the Martyrs, and it has to do with martyrs. And I was reminded as I read through that book just a few days ago, around the world, that many will die for their faith just because they are Christians. It's the only reason. They will die because they are Christians. Somebody asked me at the end of the first service, didn't know about these statistics and didn't know about these realities. And I said, not only is it a reality, there will be somewhere between 175,000 and 200,000 die this year just because they're a Christian. Millions have died since Jesus was here at the hand of somebody else. They have been martyred just because they are a follower of Jesus. Their faith was on display. I was talking to Salek again last week as I took him back to the airport on Monday morning, asking him, "Do you still have armed guards at your church services?" And of course, he kind of chuckled at me. "Of course. We can trust nobody. Somebody could come along with explosives or bombs or guns or whatever. They check everybody at their church services for these devices, explosion devices, guns, whatever. But friends, let me assure you, when people in places like that decide to follow Jesus, their faith is real. Because when they decide to follow Jesus in places like that, it's probably going to mean no more job. It's probably going to mean from the rest of their families, no more family. If you're a woman and lucky, you may live, because your family will call it mercy killings if you become a Christian in that society. When they put their faith in Jesus Christ, it's real. Their faith is not just words. It's not just skin deep. It's real. And that's exactly what my dear old friend Barlam was asking me about my pocketbook. Is there anything to it? And I wonder today, brothers and sisters in America, is there anything to our faith? Or is it just words and just skin deep? I wonder some days, how many North American Christians are willing to die for Jesus? I wonder some days, am I willing to die for Jesus? People all over the globe are. Their faith is real. It's not just, yes, I'm a Christian and go live like the world. Their faith is real. They are on fire for the living God. How is our faith today, brothers and sisters? I love the second chapter of James. It talks about our faith being real. It talks about it being tangible. And I know some of his words give some people heartburn because it talks about works and faith going together. But what he's simply saying is if our faith is real, it will show. It will show in our everyday living. And so, for lack of time, we must go quickly to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, if you have your Bibles, please turn there with me. Most of you know Hebrews 11 as the faith chapter. Most of you know there are stories about Noah there. There are stories about Abraham. There are stories about Moses. There's a story about Rahab the prostitute. All kinds of good stories by faith. But I'm going to go beyond all of those and go to the end of the chapter. And I'm going to start at 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. The writer says, he's already talked about all these people that we all know about, we all read about in the Old Testament, these solid pillars of faith. And then he gets to 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. You can read all about them in the Judges and 1 and 2 Samuel and the Kings. You can read all about these figures and their faith, how they subdued nations and took on mighty things because of their faith. You can read all about them. Who he says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And verse 35, further he writes, and by faith women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and prison imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Why? Because of their faith in Christ. And the writer simply sums it up with this wonderful statement. I love this statement. When he's talking about all these people and their faith and what they've gone through and how many have given their lives, he comes up with this statement, of whom the world was not worthy. The world, you see, is not worthy of those kind of people with those kind of faith. The world is the devil's playground. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. The New Testament calls him the god of this age. And the world is his playground. And all manner of mayhem happens in the world. That's why this writer says, when these people are that in love with Jesus that they will give up their lives, they will give up their homes, they will be whatever, the world isn't even worthy of those kind of people. And I wonder, friends, if that can be said of us today. The world is not even worthy of them. I wonder, is our faith real? I know it is in Pakistan. When they say yes to Jesus, it's real. I wonder at the same time, why are people willing to go through torture and death for Jesus? Why are they willing to be mocked and scourged and sawn in two, live in caves and all these other things? And if we apply the 21st century to it, why will they stand there, stand up for Jesus? You can read about this in Voice of the Martyrs all the time. It ain't going to be on the 6 o'clock news, but they will tell you about the women being raped all over Central Africa and the Middle East just because they're Christians. They will tell, Voice of the Martyrs will tell us about the sexually mutilated, the mutilated with machetes, being in prison, losing their job, losing their families, all manner of mayhem just because they're Christians. Their faith is real. When they say yes to Jesus, they have counted the cost. They're willing to walk with Jesus. Their faith is real, brothers and sisters. And I wonder today, is ours that real? Can we stand in the face of adversity and persecution and temptation and all manner of disgusting things that happens to brothers and sisters all over the world just because of Jesus? How is our faith? I want to read you, and I don't normally read out of you from books, but I want to read you a couple little stories out of this book called Jesus Freaks. Just so you're more aware, because so oftentimes we're not aware. We're just not aware. And these little stories I'm going to read to you in the last few minutes are not taken from the first and second century when the Romans were burning Christians at the stake, and or the 15th century when the organized church was burning people at the stake. This is the 20th century. 1991 in Peru. Terrorists had just killed the pastor the night before. His body was on the floor under a blanket with some candles around it. Terrorists had also burned the church down and 17 houses, every one of them belonged to Christians. This is 1990s. The people there had no more church, they had no more pastor, they had no more houses. Yet they continued to gather together fearlessly. They stood in the muddy street to have their services. This is in the 1990s. This is whom the writer of Hebrews was speaking when he wrote, "Of whom the world is not worthy." These people's faith is real. Pastor's gone, church is gone. Pastor's been killed, houses are burned down, and these people are still worshiping because their faith in the living God is real. We complain about the snow. We complain about the cold. We complain about the government. We complain about the preacher going too long on Sunday morning. We complain about religion. And there's people around the world that are dying for Jesus today. In 1997, Bangladesh. The 30 Christian families stood in front of the mosque, surrounded by 500 Muslims. "You better leave Christianity and become Muslims again," the crowd yelled. "If you do, we'll help you. If you don't, we will beat you." On that morning, every believer, including women and children, had to stand before the Muslim leaders for 4 hours while each family was questioned. 30 families, 500 rebels around them, questioning them about their faith for 4 hours. "We will cheer and we will raise a fuss and we will be joyous and jubilant for 3 hours this afternoon. But we better not go 65 minutes on a church service when we're slated for 60. That's how we think. Are you hearing me, beloved? Are you hearing me, friends? Our faith needs to be deeper. Our faith needs to be in the resurrected Christ, not in football stars. I like a good football game too, but we will get excited this afternoon for 3 hours and we complain in church for 65 minutes. We complain if the church if the pastor goes more than 12 minutes. We complain about having to come to prayer service. And people standing today dying for Jesus around the world because their faith is real. Their faith is so real that nothing makes any difference to them but Jesus. Their faith is real. And I wonder some days if ours is any more than words, if ours is any more than skin deep, if we had to stand for 4 hours in front of 500 people, would we even stay there? Because of our faith in Jesus. This story is a lot longer. They took their water rights away. They had to walk for a mile to get their water. Then they started taking their land away. How would you like to go home? How would I like to go home this afternoon and say, rebels have just taken your home, preacher. You don't own it anymore. You want to stand for Jesus? You go find your own house. This one's ours. How would we react? They stood there and said this, we give thanks to God that these things cannot destroy our spirit. They were brand new believers. Jesus told us that we are only here for a few days. We have eternal life and will stay with Him in heaven. He will take care of us. Their faith is real. It's not just words. Their faith is not just skin deep. Their faith is real in the resurrected Christ. These are whom the writer of Hebrews means when he says, of whom the world is not worthy of them. These are the kind of people. I wonder if that can be said about us. 1997, mainland China. Gao Wang was surrounded by seven Chinese guards who had him handcuffed to a chair. The guards took turns shocking him with a cattle prod. Eat, they commanded, and we'll stop. Maybe y'all don't know what a cattle prod is. Some of us been around them. They got a pretty good load. They got a pretty good shot. Seven guards took turns on Gao because he simply stopped eating. He was on a hunger strike. Why? He just wanted the scriptures back. He had been put in prison. This is 1997. And this book only goes up to about 2001. That's why there's no newer ones. But the stories like this are happening every day. He was simply looking for signatures so they could get their church legal. There are two kinds of church in China. The state organized and run church and the other churches that's underground. He simply wanted his legal. And so he was trying to gather some signatures. Can we get ours legal? That's all he was trying to do. And they put him in prison. And then when he went to prison, he had his Bible. They took his Bible away. You can't have that either. So he went on this hunger strike. You say, man, he must have been a pillar of faith. This was a person, a 30-year-old man, that was a worker at the Chrysler Jeep plant in Beijing, China. This was not the pastor. This was not the missionary. This was not the evangelist. This was a Chrysler Jeep worker that simply went to prison because he wanted his church registered and legal. Because he wouldn't stop his hunger strike, they decided for his crime, he would go to re-education. Long story short, he went to re-education for over 2 years, where he and 16 others lived in a 12 by 20 cell. 16 of them. Finally, after more than 2 years in prison and in re-education, Fang was released on February 7th, 1998. Here's what he says. I would prefer to be in prison for 2 years than do nothing for Jesus. I wonder how our faith, I wonder how my faith stacks up to that. I would rather be in prison for 2 years than do nothing for Jesus. I wonder if our coworkers even know we're Christians. I was telling Salek a little bit on Monday as I took him back to the airport of some of the difficulties we are experiencing in America. Some of the spiritual challenges. And I told him the day is fast approaching when we will say something from the pulpit and it'll either be against the law or against somebody's rights and we will go to jail. He chuckled at me. And he said, then you'll have a prison ministry. I think he found that more humorous than I did. But he's right. 30-year-old Chrysler Jeep worker said, "I would rather be in prison than do nothing for God." And then he writes, "I'm actually one of the lucky ones because my case was somewhat known. There was letters from around the country being written to the Chinese government on my behalf. I actually had better treatment." Many who were less well known, he writes, are simply executed, of whom the world is not worthy. Now I know we can say, "Yeah, but preacher, we're in America. And when it comes to our faith, that might be the problem. We're not persecuted. We're not tempted. We're not tried. We're not struggling in our faith. We're not persecuted just because we're Christians. And maybe that's why it's not as strong as it could be." I know good and well that we can say, "I have a faith," but it's like Barlaam said of my pocketbook, "Is there anything to it? Is there anything to my faith?" I'm asking myself. If I'm the one being shocked with the prod, the cattle prods, if I'm the one being thrown out to be burned at the stake, is there anything to my faith? Is there anything to ours? And I know we can say, "You betcha, preacher, I'm a Christian too," and then go on our merry way in life and live, look just like the world, and never have any evidences of faith whatsoever. Friends, James has a word for that. James 2:26, faith without following Christ is not faith. And so, brothers and sisters, I simply encourage us today and challenge us today. Is our faith real? Our Father and our God, forgive me, Lord, and us, because sometimes we've got our priorities way out of whack. Our words say you are Lord, and our actions say something else. Forgive us for that, Lord. Father, help us to be surrendered completely to you. Surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's your desire for us, O Lord. That's your desire for everybody. To put you first. To have a faith in you that is so real. Well, Jesus just shines right through us, and people see Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us. Help me, help us, where we haven't seen the kind of persecution that we've read about this morning, and we know to be true around Salek and others. We haven't seen that kind much, and it hasn't challenged our faith. Father, help our faith to grow anyway. Father, I pray that our faith is real. And I pray that as we leave this place today, it would be so real that you are first in everything. I pray today, Father, that people and churches everywhere would be touched by the Holy Spirit of God. And when we leave this place, we're set ablaze with the Holy Ghost. And so, Father, help us to remember, if we remember nothing else today, help us to remember Barlaam and his statement, "How's your pocketbook?" That challenges us to the reality, is there anything to our faith? Or is it just words? Maybe we haven't even got to the words yet. Father, speak to our hearts today and draw us near. And Lord, if you're speaking to somebody today in this congregation that hasn't surrendered their life completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I pray today is the day of salvation. Father, the more we say no to your Spirit, the easier it gets. Then we just don't even listen. If you're speaking to souls today, Father, I pray today is the day of salvation. Today is the day they get right with you by your grace and their faith completely in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I pray that would happen all over the globe. Millions would come to Jesus Christ as Lord today. So dismiss us now, Heavenly Father, led by your Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, into the new week, into the afternoon, with a faith that's real in the resurrected Son. A faith that's tangible. A faith that would endure what our Christian brother in China endured. May our faith be like that. Help us to work through those situations, Lord, that maybe we haven't worked through yet. Help us to get to where we need to be in our faith with you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.